That General Motors welcome back party, well, it's going to be a more modest affair.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. General Motors has been scaling back plans for its initial public stock offering coming up here pretty soon. And that scaling back affects you and me because we taxpayers own most of that company. Marketplace's Elisa Roth covers Detroit for Marketplace, and she joins us live to talk about the company that some call Government Motors. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
You know, for a while there, it sounded like this could be one of the biggest public offerings ever. What, not anymore?
Well, neither GM nor the Treasury Department are allowed to talk about this stuff right now because of securities regulation. So it's all a bit speculative. But early reports were that the IPO could be valued at something like $20 billion. The biggest was Visa's IPO back in 2008, which raised $19 billion. But now it's sounding like GM's is going to be more in the range of $8 to $10 billion. Among other things, everybody's worried about how an IPO is going to perform in this market. The two big issues for the Treasury Department, and by extension for us, as you said, are whether it can recoup its investment in GM and whether it can reduce its stake in the company to below 50%. That would make it a minority shareholder and let GM be a bit more of its own company again.
Right. So can that happen?
It's hard to know. The market for IPOs has been mixed, and the stock market generally has been mixed. There have been various calculations about how much the shares would have to sell for in order for the government to recoup its investment. The answer is about $134. And some auto analysts, at least, are pretty optimistic about the company. I think what people do agree is that it'll take years for the government to be free and clear of its ownership of GM.
That's our auto industry specialist, Elisa Roth. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The issue of education reform is really having a moment in the spotlight. Today, the much-hyped documentary Waiting for Superman opens in New York and L.A. Oprah is spending another hour on the topic today. And next week, NBC News is hosting a big education summit. What gives? From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott gives.
At a press conference this week, the head of NBC News, Steve Kappas, explained why the network is devoting a week of programming and events to education.
At the end of the day, the media, all of us, don't give education nearly the coverage that it deserves.
Or maybe didn't. Next month, the Reverend Al Sharpton launches a new TV show about education. A new reality show, School Pride, debuts on NBC. It's a sort of extreme makeover for schools. But will advertisers line up to pay for all this coverage? Media analyst Gary Arlen says they might.
American corporations, who are obviously the sponsors of any kind of programming, are really concerned about education because they can't find qualified workers.
And they're not above hitching their wagons to a hot issue. This week, the Conference Board, a business group, announced it's putting out a discussion guide for companies inspired by Waiting for Superman. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Have you been waiting for the numbers? World stocks are generally lower this morning. Some of that may be a reaction to the rise in new unemployment claims here in the U.S., because what we call Americans, other countries call customers. The Dow Industrials fell 76 points yesterday, closed at 10,662.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
We don't often give the price of commodities on this show, but Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson tells us cotton closed above $1 a pound this week, and that is its highest price in 15 years.
Cotton prices are up not because of anything happening here in the U.S., but because of bad weather in two of the largest cotton-producing countries, China, and Pakistan.
When I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is look at Indian weather, China weather. Then I look at U.S. weather.
Sharon Johnson is a cotton analyst with First Capital Group in Atlanta. She says back in November of 2008,
prices got below 40 cents as the worst of the recession hit. And here we are less than 2 years, and we've nearly tripled in price.
She says we're also seeing some of the highest demand ever for cotton, mostly from fast-growing developing countries. She calls it a cotton bubble that could soon burst, leaving farmers wondering what to plant.
A lot of producers may find it difficult to handle these kind of price swings and may be able to maintain a position.
One of them is Tim Lucky, a fourth-generation cotton farmer in Milan, Tennessee.
When my father was farming, the price of corn or cotton didn't fluctuate 4 or 5 cents a year. Now, cotton will fluctuate 3 cents a day.
Some blame speculators for the quick rise in price. Jeffrey Christian is managing director of the commodity research firm CPM Group. He says big investors have thrown a lot of money into cotton in recent years.
That's relatively easier in gold, but when you start getting into smaller markets like cotton or coffee or cocoa, it takes very little shift in investment money into these markets to drive the price sharply higher.
What does all this mean for consumers? Well, that $10 t-shirt may soon cost $12.
In the t-shirts and the underwear and the lower cost cotton garments, I believe you're already seeing the impact of higher cotton prices.
Perhaps it's time for polyester to make a comeback. Sharon Johnson says her husband might still have his old leisure suit in the back of his closet.
We might have to have it refitted just a bit.
I say go for it. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Yes. Life going nowhere. And finally, the whole week's business news now in a Marketplace Minute. The people who had the profession of declaring we're out of recession waited more than a year to sound the all clear. Tinker's dam, is that the expression? Blockbuster's finally going bust. After years of eating Netflix dust, they acknowledge their business model was wrong. Let's charge them a late fee for waiting so long. The FDA has begun to examine the worth of genetically modified salmon. Is it a cynical industry scam and a threat or a way to alleviate famine? And Colin Powell says, let's not grouse about illegal workers. They fix my house. I mean, houses of people other than me. That story's at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.